food and nutrition experts getting together to help you raise a healthy family. It's time for Family Food Kitchen on Radio MD. Here's your hosts, Ellen Briggs and Carolina Jantak.
Did you know that 6 million children have fatty liver disease? That's and 20% of adults, that's one out of a five, And I'm wondering how many are undiagnosed. Oh my gosh, we need to pay attention. Here to explain the connection with what we eat and fatty liver disease is expert Dr. Raman. I'm not sure how to pronounce her first name. She's going to help me out with that in just a minute. But she's a gastroenterologist and a physician nutritionist at the University of Calgary. And she's the author of Healing Fatty Liver Disease. Dr. Raman, thanks so much for being with us. And please help me out. How do we pronounce your first name?
First of all, thank you for inviting me to do this segment. And my first name is pronounced Maitri.
Maitri, that's easy. Thank you. Well, would you please start by helping us understand the fatty liver disease?
Absolutely. So fatty liver disease is now the leading cause of liver disease in North America. And fatty liver disease is a it's an abbreviation for non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And I think it's really important that we distinguish non-alcoholic fatty liver disease from other types of fatty liver disease. For example, everybody, a lot of people are quite familiar with the concept of alcohol and alcohol-related injury to the liver. And alcohol can also result in fatty liver disease. But what we are describing in this book is a relatively undiagnosed or unknown entity called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
Wow, I had no idea that there was that distinction until I got your book. And it's a lot more serious than any of us realize. So what are some of the symptoms that we need to be looking out for this non-alcoholic fatty liver disease?
Right. And this is exactly why this condition is really underdiagnosed, because there are no specific symptoms that might lead you to think you have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So in fact, most people are walking around just fine. They do not have any specific gastrointestinal or liver symptoms. They may see their family doctor for their annual physical and then have their blood test checked as anyone would on a routine basis. And really, this is the most common way this condition is picked up, through abnormal blood tests, liver-specific tests for blood tests done for completely unrelated reasons.
Oh, so the first time they'll find out about it is really when they get a blood test and maybe their liver enzymes are going to be elevated, and then there's going to be a little bit of questioning and history to find out, you know, why that is. So is this 100% related to what they're eating, or is there a genetic component as well?
Yeah, great questions. So now the biggest risk factor for non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is weight. And weight plus or minus obesity, plus or minus pre-existent diabetes. So typically people who have a large waist circumference, those people are at risk for fatty liver. Even if they have a large waist circumference and their weight is normal, they're not considered overweight or obese, even that would be an independent risk factor for fatty liver disease. Similarly, a diabetic who is still within normal weight category or normal weight ranges, that would also be an independent risk factor for fatty liver disease. So in any individual who has abnormal blood tests and they have these risk factors of diabetes, overweight status, obese status, then those are big red flags for me that their underlying condition is fatty liver.
So this explains why now millions of children have it as well. This is all related to weight, it sounds like. And I'm just wondering if doctors are on the lookout for this. Are they, you know, is this becoming prevalent enough that they are beginning to say we need to pay attention? Or are you the first and we're trying to wake everybody up to it?
You know, I think we have come a long way over the past to possibly 10 years. More, I think most of the progress has really happened within the past 5 years. And I think now most doctors are aware of this condition, whereas 5 years ago, I would say that wasn't the case. And most doctors, when they do see abnormal liver tests, they will rule out all of the other common things like hepatitis, for example, and other genetic type components. But I think most doctors would be aware of this condition and start immediate counseling and referral of the patient to appropriate other healthcare professionals like dietitians, for example, who I think are the best qualified to help with this condition.
Okay, so I think there's a lot of people listening that are a little bit scared right now. So let's give them some good news about how can they eat to prevent it and manage it, and is it reversible through treatment and eating pattern?
Absolutely. This is the best possible thing about this diagnosis. When caught early, and even I would say up to moderate stages of this disease, it is almost entirely reversible. Now, the thing is, because these patients typically don't have symptoms, and it is possible you're walking around with fatty liver, if there's any possibility that you have the risk factors that I described and have abnormal liver tests, then the focus really should be on modifying diet as your first line strategy. And what we know about diet is that following a rigorous diet, which is typically based in low carbohydrate, not absence of carbohydrate, but lower intake of carbohydrate, overall lower intake of portion sizes, fiber-rich choices, and minimization of simple sugars, like from juice and pop and other drinks with added sugar, these strategies almost always result in improved liver condition and almost restoration of liver to a prior normal status without any risk for further complications.
Well, that is fantastic news. It's something that can be managed and changed and completely reversed through diet alone. So it can be done. Now, I think probably everyone listening, they're kind of, their ears kind of perked and they're a little bit intrigued because the disease is called fatty liver syndrome. I mean, this is fat. We're talking about fat. And yet, the first thing you said to reduce is the actual carbohydrate.
Isn't that, a dichotomy? Because you're absolutely right. Now, what is perhaps less known among the general public is that carbohydrates, particularly simple sugars, are metabolized to fat immediately. So the problem is actually not fat intake as much as it is excess sugar intake. So my messaging, although it would include cutting back on fatty foods and fried foods as well, but the primary target should be simple carbohydrates and simple sugar reduction.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Roman. You know, as a dietitian, I've been trying to get that message across for years and explain that the consequences of eating too much simple carbohydrates and not eating enough complex carbohydrates and paying way too much attention to fat sometimes and how dangerous that can be. So you do it so well in this book. I want to tell everybody where to get it. And you can find it on Amazon or you can find it on the publisher's website, which is robertrose.ca, www.robertrose.ca. And the book is called Healing Fatty Liver Disease from Dr. Roman. And it's a fantastic book, and we didn't even get to talk about it, but you'll get to see it on the book. Is there several recipes? The whole back section is of recipes. So if you're ready to battle this and revert this condition on yourself or a family member or anybody you may want to know, this is a great book to go to. And the recipes go from pumpkin pancakes all the way to lentil soup. So you're going to find breakfast, lunch, and dinner recipes in there. Thank you again for being with us. Thanks for being in our Family Food Kitchen. Remember, you can always find our past episodes on RadioMD.com, the ones that you have missed or that you want to listen to it again. Remember, you can also share with your friends.